Amen. Church, pray this prayer after me. Father God, I declare by faith that my mind is ready, my heart is prepared, and my spirit is excited. I say my spirit is excited to receive your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Thank you, worship team. Amen. So if the sermon goes too long today, Connie, blow that shofar and I'll know it's time to bring it to a close today. Good morning, Calvary Church. It's a pleasure to be with you again this morning. Jeannie and I want to thank you for all your kindness and warm reception. We love this church. We pray for this church every day, for God's direction, for His Spirit to lead. I believe that the best is yet to come, don't you? For Calvary Church and the community of Marinette. Amen. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and I want to read to you this morning a prayer from a preacher by the name of Henry Fields, who just died not all that long ago, on a certain Memorial Day. And here's what he prayed. Heavenly Father, our memories are quickened this morning as we come into this worship setting. Special times such as Memorial Day sends our thoughts into the past to recall the many young men and women who have heeded the call to serve our nation and defend our freedom. While many returned to chosen endeavors, others perished in far-flung fields and on the seas of battle. How we wish that the endless roads of white crosses did not dot the cemeteries of the world. How we wish that the hearts of loved ones still did not break when they recalled the price that their child, companion, friend, or relative paid that we might enjoy continued freedom. Yet we cannot recall the events of the past in order to change them. Heavenly Father, all we can do is express the deepest heartfelt gratitude for what was done for us and vow before you that we will strive to prevent such devastation from ever occurring again. We pray that you will give us the courage to stand before evil and defeat it in your strength. May we who have been presently entrusted with freedom's heritage guard our trust well so that future generations will enjoy the enormous benefits that freedom brings. He ends up by saying, may their memories of us be memories of a noble people who managed our trust well. Amen. That's a good prayer. By the way, if you are newer here to this church and you heard that message given in another language in the interpretation, it's all very scriptural. It's not weird or strange. If you read chapter 2 in the book of Acts, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, it'll give you a great explanation of all that. And if you have any other questions about it, you can talk to me, one of your leaders, elders, Renee, any of us, and we'll be happy to talk to you about it, especially on this day called Pentecost Sunday. In Acts chapter 20, it says that you and I, the church, were bought with a tremendous price. And that price was the blood of Christ. And we honor those on Memorial Day who paid the ultimate price. This ultimately is as far as I'm concerned, we also honor all servicemen and women who have offered and have given time and service for this country. And I like to do this, and I'm going to do it right now. If there's any people here in this congregation, if you have served, are serving, or have ever served in any of the armed forces, would you just stand for a moment so we can acknowledge all those? Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for your service. And we thank you and remember those who have paid the ultimate price. Our freedom was bought with a price, and it still is. Still costing lives today. Blood of men and women giving their lives for our freedom. And on this Memorial Day weekend, I want to talk to you about a memorial gift this morning in an unnamed woman. A memorial gift. An unnamed woman. That's the title of the message. If you want to do a subtitle, we'll call it Seizing the Moment. Matthew chapter 26, starting with verse 6. When Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, by the way, this was probably a man that Jesus had healed and cured, a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly or precious, as one version says, fragrant oil. She poured it on his head as Jesus sat at the table. And when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor. But when Jesus was aware of it, in other words, he is reading their thoughts, he said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good thing." Another version says she's done a beautiful thing for me. "For you have the poor with you always, but me you do not have always. For in pouring this fragrant oil in my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, whenever this gospel is preached in the whole world, and even here at Calvary Church, what this woman has done will be talked about, will be told as a memorial for her." God bless his word this morning. General John Logan, who was commander-in-chief of the Union Army in 1868, set aside a day to give memory, a day for the purpose of strewing, as he said, with flowers, decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of the country during that rebellion. We don't memorialize the sacrifice of just those who fought in popular wars. I don't think there's ever been such thing as a popular war. All the wars, from the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War I, II, Korean War, Vietnam, Desert Storm, and Iraqi Freedom, and others in between, we remember every one of them. And as people, as human beings, we can be so fickle in our remembering and forgetting. Sometimes we lock up in our mind like a security deposit box the hurtful words that people may have said to us, the unkind cuts that people throw our way, the events of the past that had very negative impact on our lives, and we can lock them away in the memories in the safety deposit boxes of our mind only at an opportune time to bring them out and use them sometimes like coals of fire on the people that we are around. On the other hand, how quickly we can forget the kind words, the gentle touch, the caring deed, the sympathetic ear of someone who at a crucial time in our life reached out to us and helped us. It seems like so many times that the things that we need to remember, we tend to forget, and the things that we ought to forget, we tend to remember. The Bible says it doesn't have to be that way. That's the part of the good news that we call the gospel. Everyone say the gospel. The gospel. It results in gratefulness and commitment, but people, listen to me, that doesn't come automatically. And that's the reason this morning for focusing on an unnamed woman who appears in a very unusual set of circumstances. And in that set of circumstances, she does a very remarkable thing. Although her name is not remembered, her deed, her gift, has been remembered just as Jesus predicted in verse 13. Wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be spoken of as a memorial for her. Very quickly this morning, four things about the gift that she gave that I want to share with you here this morning. Hopefully that will motivate you and challenge you in your life. Number one, her gift was a timely gift. Everyone say timely gift. At Easter, like our natural remembering and forgetting, we remember a certain course of events, don't we, that lead up to the cross. We remember the intrigue. We remember the treachery of people who plotted against Jesus and had him arrested. And we read those stories with great interest and about the treachery and the betrayal of Judas Iscariot, and read about all the events and the intrigue of those events that lead up to the last week of Jesus' life. Bitterness of the opponent, treachery of Judas, all these things, all pointing to Calvary and ultimately pointing to the empty tomb. But wedged in between all of those events is this story today. Striking story. A woman, an uninvited guest, breaks into this time and this fellowship amongst these people and breaks a vial of very costly perfume and anoints the head of Jesus. The world's view? How utterly presumptuous of her. What a total waste of good money. Spiritual view, what a timely gift. Squeezed in between leaders who are seeking an opportunity to seize Jesus and Judas looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus is the clue we're seeking found in an unnamed woman who offers this gift at a very opportune time. A timely gift. Listen, Jesus himself said, there's going to be times to do other good deeds. But now this was her time. This was the time of decision, her one chance, and she seizes it, and her gift is remembered for all eternity. Ephesians 5:16 says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. You and I are called upon to make the most of the opportunities that we are given. When is the opportune time to worship the Lord? Is it on Sunday morning between 10:30 and 11 o'clock approximately? Well, we do that, don't we? Or is it whenever you are awake and you just begin to think about and get a sense of God's presence? You might be in your home or even your place of work or in your car someplace, but you get a sense, you begin to talk to God and get a sense of His presence and you want to worship Him, and so you do. By the way, in the ride to church on Sunday morning, that's a good time to worship God. You know, we bring all sorts of stuff into church, don't we? I mean, a couple might have all these conflicts and they come to church and we look real good and sound good, but you know, but just take the time in your car, put on some Christian music and prepare your heart for when Amy and others lead us in beautiful worship. When is an opportune time to pray? When is an opportune time to serve? It seems like there's never an opportune time to serve. Listen, I read where a psychologist by the name of Alfred Adler, he was pretty popular in his time, put an ad in the paper for his 14-day cure plan. He claimed he could cure anyone of an emotional or mental disorder in just 14 days. One day, a very lonely and a very bitter woman came to him for advice. He told her if she would do just as he said, she would be cured of her loneliness and bitterness in a mere 14 days. "What do you want me to do?" she asked. Adler replied, "If you will serve someone, if you will do something, serve someone else for 14 days, every day for 14 days, your loneliness and bitterness will be gone." The woman looked at him for a moment and objected. She said, "Why should I do anything for someone else for 14 days? To which the psychologist replied, "Well, in your case, it might take 21 days. Nobody naturally gravitates towards service. When is the opportune time to give? When is the opportune time to get saved? When Paul was talking to Felix, the governor, and making an impassioned plea for the cause of Christ, Felix said, "Stop, Paul, at a more opportune time, I'll listen to what you have to say. Not now, when the opportunity is better." The very words of Jesus said, "Today is the day, now is the time of salvation." Listen, my friend, if you have not given your life to Jesus Christ, then today is the day, this is the time for you to do it. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, remember those words. Now is the time, today is the day. You don't need to leave this place without knowing that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and you have the gift of eternal life within you. Give your life to Him today. It'll be the best decision that you ever made in your entire life. Can you say amen to that, church? Amen. Amen. Well, her gift was not only timely, but secondly, it was an appropriate gift. Everyone say appropriate gift. To the trained eye of the observer, what more useless gift in the eyes of the world could be given to Jesus? This poor, tired, itinerant preacher who is really on his last go-around in life, what use does he have for such an expensive perfume? Disciples were indignant. They said, "Wow, what a waste. What a terrible loss. I mean, certainly something better, more useful, practical could have been done with that gift." But they didn't see the whole picture. And not many did. This woman in her spirit saw the whole picture. Jesus said in verse 10, she did a good thing. In the Revised Standard Version, it says she did a very beautiful thing. Couldn't our discipleship also benefit from appropriate responses to Jesus? How often we give Him part of ourselves instead of the whole and discover that part is simply not suitable for His purposes. Jesus wants the all of us, every part of our lives. A little girl was given $2 by her father. He told her she could do anything that she wanted with one of those dollars. The other one was to be given to God, church, on Sunday. The girl nodded in agreement, asked if she could go to the candy store, and with visions of all she could buy with that dollar, she skipped happily towards the store, holding tightly to those $2 in her hands. And as she was skipping along, wouldn't you know, she tripped and fell. And the wind blew, picked up one of those dollars, and right into the storm drain sewer it went. Picking herself up, the little girl looked at the dollar in her hand and looked at the storm drain and said, "Well, Lord, there goes your dollar." Well, sometimes we have the same attitude towards giving. Me first. Then God, you're next. Forgetting what it says in Romans 12, therefore, I urge you, King James says, I beseech you, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. If we really want to worship the Lord with all that is within us, then give yourself body, soul, and spirit to God. It says here, this is your highest, greatest spiritual act of worship that we could ever do. Verse 2 says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be, what church? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Another version says, when you consider all that Jesus has done for you, is that really too much to ask? And the obvious answer is no, it is not. Well, thirdly, it was a timely gift. Yes, it was an appropriate gift. Yes, but thirdly, it was also a precious gift. Everyone say precious gift. Matthew says it was very costly. But there's another version in the Gospel of Mark, and Mark gives us a few more details. He said it was pure nard. It was worth 300 denarii. Well, what does that mean? Well, for those who are unacquainted with Palestinian customs and measurements, not much. But nard was an expensive, imported perfume produced in India, brought to Palestine by caravans and traveling merchants. A denarii was a day's wages for the ordinary laborer. So those 300 denarii would approximately be a year's wages for the common Palestinian worker. But listen, friends, we need to be cautious that we don't miss the point here, because the preciousness of her gift was not measured by the absolute monetary yardstick, and neither is ours. A gift valued at $300 is not inherently superior to one that is $200, or even $1 for that matter, especially as the gift is viewed through the eyes of the master. There's no wonder the story of the unnamed woman has been told again and again and again. Devotion like hers inspires others to give and to give their best to the Savior. Story like that reminds us that love never calculates. It never thinks how little it can get by giving. Love's one desire is to give to the highest, isn't it? To the utmost limit of our being, the very best that one has to give. I've done many, many, many marriages over the years of ministry. And sometimes I begin to talk about that concept of love to the couples, and oftentimes when I ask them their thoughts and opinions, they say, well, marriage is a 50-50 proposition. You may have heard that. I say, well, what part of the demonic part of the world did you hear that 50-50? Well, what do you mean? I say, well, if we look at love that is explained in the Bible, basically you're saying 50-50. I give 50, you give 50. Hey, I give 10, you give 10. I give 0, you give 0. See, the love that God talks about is called agape love, and that's 100%. And you trust that if you will love that way 100%, that demands a response. It did from Jesus Christ, and it will from you too. Give everything you have, love to the utmost. Why should we do that? Why should we give that way? Well, 1 Peter says, chapter 1, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ. Everyone say, precious blood of Christ. Oh, the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It was through the blood of Jesus that you were saved. It was the blood of Jesus that saved me. He gave his highest, he gave his best, and he asks us to turn back to give our highest and our best to the one who shed his blood for us, for our eternal salvation. Thank you, Lord, for giving your very best. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood, the precious blood of Jesus. Well, one more. Not only was the gift timely, not only was it appropriate, not only was it precious, but the Bible tells us and teaches us that it also came from, number 4, an anonymous giver. Everyone say anonymous giver. Why an anonymous giver? Well, I think this is the secret of this being a memorial throughout all the ages. She did not get in the way of the gift. I want to say that again. She did not get in the way of the gift. It is an important gift, not because of who gave it, but because of to whom it was given. That's what made it important. In the name of Jesus, when you give something to the Lord, you give it in the name of the Lord. We're really giving it to Jesus. Young boy was walking home through the park after attending a Sunday school class in a church like this. Somehow he couldn't stop thinking about the lesson that day on Jesus' parable of the Last Judgment. And what impressed him the most was when the teacher said, when you give something to someone else, to another person, you're really giving it to Jesus. So he continued through the park and he noticed an older woman sitting on a bench and she looked lonely and hungry. So he sat down next to her and took from his backpack a package of M&Ms that he had been saving. He offered her some and she accepted it with a smile. He liked her smile so much that after she had eaten the M&Ms, he gave her some more. This time they exchanged smiles, and after a while they sat together in silence, just smiling at each other. Finally, the boy got up to leave, and as he began to walk away, he turned, ran back to the bench, gave the woman a big hug, and she gave him her very best smile. And when he arrived home, his mother saw this big smile on her son's face and said, "What made you so happy today?" He said, "I shared my M&Ms with Jesus, and she has a great smile." Well, it's not the end of the story, because the old woman returned to her little apartment where she lived with her sister, and her sister said, "You're all smiles. What made you so happy today?" To which she replied, "I was sitting in the park eating M&Ms with Jesus, and you know, he looks a lot younger than I expected." But you get the gist, right? In the name of Jesus. Mark 12 says, Jesus, I love this portion of Scripture. Jesus sat over against the treasury. Listen, I don't know about you, but when I read things like this from the Scripture, I try to get in my mind the scene, you know, painted as the Scriptures, you know, present them. So I get a picture of Jesus, and it was his custom to sit, so he's there, and he's just not doing anything, really. He was a great observer of people. You ever like to go to a busy place and just sit and watch people? People watching. So interesting, the different things and different dynamics that you get when you watch people. It can be fascinating, amazing, the different things you can observe. Jesus was a watcher of people. And Scripture goes on to say, and he beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much, but there came a certain poor widow. Everyone say certain poor widow. She was a widow, but what made her a certain poor widow? Well, why this widow? Because Jesus saw her. Jesus observed her. Jesus knew she was there. This certain poor widow. We are all certain people because God knows us all. And he loves us all. And he watches us all. You are a certain child of God and he observes your life. Not so he can catch you in a mistake and punish you and come down on you. But to observe you because he loves you. And he wants the best for your life. Maybe encourage you with the Spirit and affirm the good things maybe that you do in your life. Goes on to say, she threw in two mites, which makes a farthing. Believe me, that was not very much money. Hardly even worth mentioning. That's how little it was. But Jesus saw her. There were others that day that cast out of their wealth into the treasury. Jesus stood and watched. But it was unnamed widow who cast in two mites, who catches Jesus' eye and receives his commendation. Why? Well, because others gave out of their surplus. She gave out of her poverty, putting in all that she had to live on, and her gift will be a memorial to her from that point on all the way through eternity, even though her name is not mentioned. What about us, ladies and gentlemen? Should we too seize our opportune moments and give timely, appropriate, precious things to Jesus, being remembered not because of how much we give, not because of any amount we gave, not because of any great deed that we've done, simply that we have made a commitment to give our best to the Master? Seizing the moment. Everyone say, seizing the moment. Why did you build a beautiful facility like this, a very modern and a very inviting environment. So you could say, well, look what we did. Look at this place. This is what we accomplished here in this community. Well, you know that's not true. You did it to provide an environment where visitors can feel welcome and at ease. A cafe for coffee and refreshments is called Seizing the Moment. For this time in the history of the community of Marinette, seizing the moment for evangelism, for discipleship, and for missions. Isn't that what it's all about? Amen. Sure it is. Why a high-energy, exciting, interactive kids ministry to teach the word, teach worship, teach the love of the church? Why? To seize the moment, to reach kids at the very crucial age. Why Royal Rangers or girls ministry? Why J-High? Why Rock House ministry? Why love and accept all teens from wherever they come from? Why teach them about God in a loving and accepting and a fun environment? Why equip them to live lives full of healthy, Christ-centered lives? Why? To seize the moment, people. Reach them at a crucial time in their lives. Statistics show if you don't reach them by the time they're 16 or so, they're not going to be reached. That's why kids and teen ministry is so important. Why ministries for men and women? So you can say, wow, look how relevant our church is. No, seize the moment, right? Listen, we are spiraling rapidly towards the end times. I don't know when it's going to be. Nobody does. But the events are taking place that the Bible talks about. And we are called upon to look for opportunities to serve, to give, to care, to reach out, be ready always with an answer of the hope that is in you. People desperately need the Lord, and we need to be ready to give them an answer of the hope that we have. Seizing the moment, giving our best for the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here at this moment. Listen, this is called Pentecost Sunday, and it's not just a date on the calendar. It's remembering a very huge event. You read through scriptures, and you read that those people that were gathered at that place just before Pentecost, these were people like Peter. These were whiners and wimpies and you know, cowards in many ways, all gathered together. How are these people going to reach the world for Christ? Jesus told them, you'll be endued with power from on high. You'll receive the power of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be witnesses for me. That's the point of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Not so you can say, wow, look what I've got. Look at the gifts that I can use. And there are gifts. But it's power to witness. Power to be instruments that God can use. So here's how we're going to close today. And it's not going to be long, but from this part of the altar here, this way, listen, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, there'll never be a greater moment in your life than right now to do it. You never know what's going to happen when you go out. We got two blocks from our house this morning driving to church, and there was a horrible, horrible accident. This truck was just smashed to smithereens. And we don't know if the guy lived or whatever, but he was already gone by the time that we got there. It was a mess. Maybe he went into eternity, maybe he didn't. Did he know Jesus? I don't know. I hope he did. I hope he did. We never know when our moment comes, but we want to be prepared. Listen, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come in your life, do it today. And as the worship team is going to lead us in just a few minutes in some worship songs, why don't you just make your way up over here on this side of the altar, just you, and ask Jesus to come into your life. And ask Jesus that you just want to live for him and you want him to show you what his plans and purposes are for your life. And he'll do that. And if you've not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you're just feeling weak in your witness and you need the power of the Holy Spirit and you've never done that, you come up to the altar too. Just say, Lord, I want you to baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Listen, nobody has to lay hands on you or touch you. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was all by myself in a room. I didn't want people around me. I was laying the conditions, and God met every one of them. And I was alone, and it was dark. And I asked God to fill me with the Holy Spirit, and he did. And my life has never been the same since. Had that not happened, I wouldn't be talking to you today. I was not that kind of a guy, believe it or not. I couldn't talk very well. But God, when God baptized me with the Holy Spirit, He just gave me that desire and that strength to share Christ with people that I came in contact with. You can come and just say, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I want to receive that gift today. And maybe you've just kind of, your relationship with God is just kind of cold and you're just kind of muddling through life and not feeling God's will or purpose for your life. And you just kind of want to renew that today. This would be a good day just to renew and ask God to give you a renewed spirit and a zeal to share Christ and enthusiasm to worship. So I just don't sit through worship time, but I really want to feel the words that the worship team is leading us in. You come up here too, if you want to. And just spend some time. And no one's going to bother you. It's between you and God. But if you want prayer for healing, if you want prayer for a specific thing, there's going to be some anointers up here from the worship, some prayer teams, or what do we call them? Anointers. Yes, okay. They'll be up here, and they will pray for you. Whatever your need is, it could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be relational, it could be financial. And let them pray for you. So if people will pray for you over here, this is your place over here to pray between you and God. We'll do a couple of worship songs, and then we can just be dismissed for the rest of the time. Let's just spend a little time in worship and in prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, I pray for those, Lord, who are struggling in their relationship with you, feeling weak, underpowered. I pray, Lord, that today would be their day to seize the moment and receive the beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. For those who have never said yes to Jesus, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would draw them today. They would just come up and just them kneeling at this place and just say, Jesus, I want to receive you into my life. I want to confess my sins to you and ask that you would save me and I want to receive the gift of eternal life. And those who are just muddling through life, that just they just need a renewal to come up here and as the worship team leads, just to recommit themselves to you, Jesus, and say, I just need a renewal here today in my heart and in my life. Then for those who need prayer, for maybe they're having some physical issues going on in their life, or maybe there's a family situation, they really want someone to pray for them, or it could be anything. But God, there's such power in prayer to be anointed and to believe with someone else that God's going to do what he said he would do in his word. So, Father, we just commit these next few moments to you for your glory and honor, for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name.